So just a small retraction. The new Bills Stadium is an outdoor stadium.
Okay.
It's got kind of a European soccer vibe.
Okay.
Where they've got the big canopy around the perimeter.
Around the perimeter.
And it's what, 60% covered? So it's, you know, it's covered-ish. But it's still open outdoor
stadium. Because that's part of their
Buffalo.
Whole shtick, yeah. though, isn't yeah. it? I mean.
Yeah, so if you want to pay almost $700 for a ticket, you can go see the Lions play Buffalo in the brand new stadium.
Okay. All right. In the snow.
Be a fun trip. Yeah. Well, hopefully it won't be. If it's in the snow, we've got serious global warming or global cooling problems at that point. Yeah. Meanwhile, inflation rising to 3.8% in April. It's the highest level in nearly 3 years, and we are going the wrong way. Patrick Anderson, the principal and CEO of the Anderson Economic Group, joins us to talk about it. I'd like to talk with you one day when inflation hits 1.9%, but we're just not there yet, Patrick.
Let's look forward to that. Yeah, and we should come back to there. We were there. We were at 1%.
Right.
We were at 0.5%. And there's actually, for people in the auto industry in particular, and I'm out in Toronto right now at an auto conference. We actually looked at some of these data yesterday. And there were some times where auto inflation was actually negative. People were actually getting more for the same dollar year after year. It didn't last a long time, but we had it. But right now, that is not the situation in the United States. And yes, inflation jumped up. All items went up. Food items went up. But energy was the particularly painful part of inflation this month.
Yeah, when you hear that energy accounted for more than 40% of the monthly increase, does that suggest that this is mostly a supply shock or is the beginning of something broader?
It's definitely a supply shock here. I mean, this is the classic supply shock, meaning that something that is a major supply to our economy went up in price all of a sudden. And yes, in this case, there's no... There's no really mystery about this. We have a war with Iran that is choking off the Straits of Hormuz. So a lot of global oil, natural gas, other energy supplies, and that ricochets around the world. So even though in the United States, we're heavily insulated from Middle Eastern oil in particular, and on that, we are energy independent, we're still affected by this.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the reasons we have, it's the main reason we had inflation spike up.
Well, I mean, just in terms of the sheer cost of a gallon of gas, right? We know that it's playing, those numbers are being impacted because of what's happening with the blockade, because of what's happening at the Strait of Hormuz. We had a couple of hiccups at a couple of local facilities, at least in the region.
Yeah, the refineries.
That have either went, there was a power outage or were switching over to the summer fuel. So those are all playing a role. But then you've got, like, for example, UAE leaving OPEC. And those that changes the way that the markets are reacting too. So it feels like almost from a consumer perspective, it's whiplash. You don't know what exactly is driving these energy costs to swing the way that they are.
I wouldn't call this whiplash, and I think consumers have a pretty good idea here. I mean, there's like consumers think it's the Iran war. Consumers are correct. The Iran war is pushing up the price of gasoline right now. In terms of other things, if you're in California, don't blame the Iran war for your $6 and $7 gas.
Right, it was bad before that.
It sure was.
Yeah, I mean, this is self-inflicted costs in California. They've now successfully chased out what was Standard Oil of California, Chevron, basically made it so painful for them to be in the state that they finally gave up and moved to Texas. So that's, if you're in California and you're listening to this on the Great Voice of the Great Lakes, where we have lots of fresh water, Californians, you're in charge of a lot of your own price hikes. But for across the country, this is basically an artifact of the Iran war, and the Iran war is a much bigger issue than the price of gas right now, and I don't want to minimize it, but that's what's causing the big run-up in energy prices.
And, you know, Patrick, the Fed is kind of in a tough spot. You got inflation rising, but the labor market is still strong. So what does that mean for interest rate decisions?
The Fed, the new Fed chairman is in a tough spot. And he's a very smart man, and I think he's going to do a good job. And I'm glad that President Trump has nominated him. And he's going to bring some discipline to the Fed that's been lacking in terms of their balance sheet and things like that. But for the short term, yeah, when the labor market's strong and inflation's going up, it's generally not a time to cut interest rates. So mm-hmm. It certainly has made it. It's made the argument of cutting interest rates right now a very weak one, and I think the likelihood of that happening has gotten much smaller.
Patrick, we just have a minute left here. We're going to talk to Paul Sankey coming up at 7:19 on this proposed holiday on the federal gas tax. What would the economic ramifications be if that was suspended for 3 months?
Well, it's pretty clear. I mean, gas tax, both the federal gas tax and state gas taxes, are the primary means in which we fund roads. If we stop collecting gas taxes, we will underfund the road maintenance, and then we'll later on want to come back and raise it. That doesn't mean for short time periods you couldn't do something like this, and I'm not all against a temporary gas tax holiday either at the state or federal level. But I do note that government has not been good at all at the idea of like, oh, we need this for a temporary time period. Government tends to be terrible at identifying temporary time periods to do things. This may be a time where the federal government and the state government and other states are saying, okay, we've got a temporary energy shock. Let's do a temporary gas tax holiday and pick up the revenue later on. And mm-hmm. if that's the case, I think that's fine for the United States.
Yep. Patrick Anderson of Anderson Economic Group. Always appreciate the time, my friend. Thanks for it. And we'll talk soon.
All right. Talk to you soon.
You got it. Yeah. I don't have much of a problem with it. To me, it's a Band-Aid on a bullet wound.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because at the crux of the issue is still what's happening with Iran.
Exactly.
And if that can be ironed out the way that I think the president would like it to be, then we're talking about a completely different scenario. Mm-hmm. But it's the domino effect. It's if you suspend the gas tax, then you underfund infrastructure. When you
right.
underfund infrastructure, things start to crumble.
And we
Again,
are already
it's
behind
only,
and stuff here.
It's only a short period, right?
Yeah.
You're only talking, he's only proposing 90 days.
Yeah.
But it's 90 days.
Of not having
that 18 cents.
Yes.
Per gallon.
Mm-hmm.
So that is impactful. It is 24 cents for diesel, which is at record highs
like
here in the state of Michigan.
$6 now almost, I saw it
yeah.
the other
so
day. Yeah.
It is problematic, but you do have to try to find some relief for people until the whatever's happening in Iran is resolved. 7 o'clock hour coming up. Get you caught up on the headlines. We'll continue to talk about gas prices and the Pistons play tonight.